Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, C-Man.
What up, dog? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice World.
This your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
It's the Murder Master Music Show.
You follow what lame stream says, but here it gets rejected. If you wearing tight jeans, don't expect to get respected. I'm from a time where wearing black was always on your checklist. From a time where faggots get checked if they reckless. From a time where if you got too much shine, we snatch your necklace. This real shit here, Illuminati, fuck the industry. We represent the street and they respect our street ministries. Take no shorts and cut the middleman, literally. This hip-hop savior, our birth scenes like nativity. This a place where no one sells out for relevability. And the masses can get a chance to explore more creativity. You gotta be kidding me. If you call that hip-hop, niggas with hot shades and fluorescent flip-flop. We killin' Big Brother, cause we know he watch. You don't like what I'm doing, then you can suck mine. Oh, and you don't murder master music show. It's the 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 Murder Master Music Show.
Episode 307. What's up, everybody? You're tuned in to the Murder Master Music Show. How you doing, Mac?
Man, I'm good, Prez. How you doing, man? Just kicking back, you know.
Shit.
Chilling.
Man, I'll tell you what. I'm doing phenomenal for several reasons. We all saw the movie Straight Outta Compton. Phenomenal movie. It broke box office records. But we've interviewed so many people, you know what I'm saying, from the Ruthless era, from Ruthless Records, affiliated to Eazy-E, whatnot. And you know, everybody pretty much agreed that Straight Outta Compton was lacking a whole lot of information, especially pertaining to the life of Eazy-E. There's a lot of inaccuracies. Matter of fact, we had Jerry Heller on the show speaking about it himself. Well, tonight, we're going to be interviewing the producers and co-director of the film N.W.A. and Eazy-E, Kings of Compton, non-authorized by a documentary. It's out and available right now. We're also going to be giving away 10 copies. So if you want to get a copy of this brand new DVD, N.W.A. and Eazy-E, Kings of Compton, you need to call and hit those lines right now, 714-409-0548. I'm going to tell you what I like about the film before I bring on our guests. You know, so we got producer Jessica Bennett, and we got producer and co-director, you know what I'm saying, Andre Relis. Before I bring them on, I'm just going to tell you what I really liked about this film. It paid homage to the man that created the whole shebang. If it wasn't for Eazy-E, there would have been none of this. There would have been none of it. None of it. It also pays homage to Heller. You know what I'm saying? You know, Lonzo's in this
rest
film
in
talking
peace to
about
Jerry Heller, man.
Yeah, rest in peace to the homie Jerry L. The Lonzo's in the film talking about, you know, there wouldn't be none of this without his help too, because you kind of needed two pieces of the puzzle. That was Eazy and Jerry. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Of course you needed a beat maker, you needed Dre, you needed Cube, you needed everybody. But without Eazy and without Jerry, no fucking NWA. No way.
Yeah, they was the engine. Like you needed all the parts to go with it, but you needed, you know, you got to have the engine to keep going. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I like about the documentary as well. You know, which I'm all into the documentaries anyway. So I done seen some, but this one was cool because It's just more, you know, more real with the truth. It wasn't like they were just focusing on one thing. It just, the focus was what it was. For the people, I don't want to give too much of it up, but you know what I mean? I recommend it. You know what I'm saying? 10 people can grab one a night if they call in to them. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's bring on the guests. We got producer Jessica Bennett and producer and co-director Andre Rillis. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing really good.
Yep, we're doing good. West Side in the house.
West Side in the building. There we go. Before we get off into the film, tell everybody about who you guys are, you know what I'm saying, and pretty much give everybody an idea what you guys do.
Yeah, so my name's Andre Rillis. I run a company called VMI Worldwide, Envision Music. We produce films, documentaries, and we are also a distribution company. And we got involved with this project a couple years ago, and that's where Jessica came in.
Yeah, hi. I'm Jessica here, Jessica Bennett. I'm born and raised from Southern California, Northern California. I moved to L.A. 5 or 6 years ago, and I met Andre at a film market, and actually this project actually brought us together because he hit me up one day because he knew I liked NWA and I wasn't working. I was still finishing school, and he goes, hey, I'm producing this documentary on NWA and Eazy-E. He's like, would you like to be a part of it? And I was like, fuck yeah, like, absolutely. So, I mean, that's really kind of how it got started, and I kind of jumped in. And the good thing about the project is that we all wore many hats. Like, not necessarily, like, I mean, yes, I was a producer and Andre was a co-director, but we did a lot more than that. Like, there was a lot of stuff in that movie that I shot personally myself. There's parts that I edited. Andre, same there. I mean, he really honed in on the director aspect. He pretty much paid for almost the entire movie. Like, it's crazy. Like, this film literally became our baby, and we're just really excited that it got made and it got put out there, and right now we just want the world to see it. We want every NWA fan to see it, so that's what we're doing here.
That's right.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, so y'all coming up with the idea to make this documentary, was that before you guys knew the Straight Outta Compton movie was coming out, or because, or like, the focus really got pushed after, you know, when you knew the movie was coming out?
Well, actually, the truth is this documentary has been in the making for 10-plus years. This documentary came to me from the other director, Mike Corbera, who we had worked together years ago on a 50 Cent documentary. And he came to me 4 years ago with this documentary in a really, really different form. It was extremely rough. He just had a bunch of interviews. He didn't have a cohesive documentary. And he came to me and asked if I'd help him and if I'd get it done and finance the finishing parts and do interviews and get an editor and get it all together. So, I got involved a little over two years ago and co-directed and finished it spent a lot of time and effort, blood, sweat, and tears getting this thing done. And it was not easy, man, because we didn't get a lot of support. And the worst thing was, although the movie coming out was great, anybody around the whole NWA world was very cautious to get involved with this documentary because they knew that there was a big movie coming out. And so they were all about, you know, they were all about making sure they promoted the movie. And it was really hard to get anybody's attention at that time to get involved.
Right.
Like, there was a lot of different interviews that were in earlier parts of this documentary that we had to take out because they wouldn't sign the releases at the 11th hour. There was a lot of politics. We had tons of Jerry Heller footage that we had to take out because the releasing company was concerned that there'd be a lawsuit. There's all kinds of stuff that we had to maneuver around based upon politics.
Sounds like, yeah, you guys had to really, you know what I'm saying, go through
really
the shit.
Grind. Hell yeah.
Yeah. To get
this
out.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
one of the things, one of the coolest parts about it is we spent a lot of time in Compton, just interviewing people that were that knew these guys, that grew up with them, that were, you know, part of the family, and we spent time with them and heard their stories and just hung out, drank 40s and beers with them, and just like just listened and took it in, and they were really appreciative we were there, you know, because they kind of got ignored by the movie. They kind of felt like they were shut out.
Yeah, definitely. We got the same thing over here. You know, like I said, we interviewed a lot of people, and they didn't have no input in the movie whatsoever. And I like the fact that you guys have so many different people in here that are able to tell their stories about Eazy-E and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good mix.
My favorite. Sorry, one of the stories, actually, that's actually one of my favorite stories that came out of when we interviewed a lot of people from Compton. We were actually, crazy thing is, we were actually in the park, Kelly Park, where Eazy literally talks about, you know, cruising down the street, myself, playing, shooting hoops. Like, we were literally at that basketball court, and it just felt so real. And my favorite story was one of the kids had known Eazy because, I mean, obviously, even when Eazy-E was big, he was still always in Compton. He was always there supporting. He was always around. Like, he wasn't one of those people who literally just became famous and took off and that was it. He literally was kept around his neighborhood. And one of my favorite stories was this kid, and he, I mean, he's an adult now, obviously, but he told me the story about one time he was at the ice cream truck and, you know, kind of kids lined up, ice cream man was there. And literally Eazy-E walked out of his house, took, literally bought every kid in line an ice cream from the ice cream truck. And I mean, that's just like, it's just beautiful stories like that. It's like Eazy was, even though he was a big shot, he was a huge, basically a revolutionary. I mean, there was still like, he was still so real and he was such a human and he was so good to these kids in Compton. He was so good to the people around him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. That's another thing that a lot of people didn't know is the fact that, you know, all the charity work he did, all the stuff he did to help children. You know, most gangsters from Kelly Park, you know, Compton, aren't thinking about taking kids to theme parks. You know what I'm saying? But that's the type of heart you could tell Eazy-E had. No one is more devastated by his loss than his children. We always bring up his children because we feel that, well, they didn't get the fair shake of the deal. In the movie, there's a scene where Julio G talks about Eazy-E had spoke to him at one time, and he wanted, basically, Ruthless to go to his children. We all know, obviously, it didn't. Why do you think Eazy's kid? Do you guys have an opinion on that from the work you've done? Why do you think Eazy's kids were cut out of the whole situation?
I personally think there was some division, man. I think that just based on some stuff that I found out when we were working on getting distribution deals, when we were working on the, you know, trying to bring in distributors to the picture, we had a major distributor that wanted to pick this up, but there was some politics between Eazy and the rest of the guys. And I think that kind of had to do with some Dr. Dre, Eazy-E stuff. And I don't know if Ice Cube was involved in that, but I can tell you there's definitely something. I don't want to make, you know, I don't want to go to the say that it was bad blood, but something weird is up because, yeah, I don't know why they didn't involve Eazy, Little Lee, and but I'll tell you, when we really tried to work out the distribution deals, we found out that there was something weird going on there.
Yeah, I mean, originally, Tamika is the one who inherited his label. I mean, obviously, he died, you know, all of his assets went to his spouse. And, I mean, I don't, like, I've never met Tamika in person. I don't know what exactly went on. It's all opinion-based. But, I mean, for all I know, I mean, it's definitely Eazy, you know, he had his share of women, and he has a lot of kids from different, you know, baby mamas or whatnot. And, I mean, it's just, sadly, just a lot of it, I mean, it all went to her, and it just, I guess it just didn't get distributed correctly, but, I mean, it is a shame, because he did say that that was what you wanted to do, but...
And as far as Little E, we tried to interview him, and we wanted to bring him in, but he was in jail at the time.
Yeah.
Well, he was in jail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope, this movie gets the life set upon that it needs to, because, like I said, it was well put together. And, I mean, you documented everybody in NWA, but also people that were, you know, friends and people behind the scenes that made things happen. So, I mean, it's a real good, you get a real good idea of what NWA was all about after you're done watching the film. What has been the feedback that you guys have been getting from the movie?
Man, I got to tell you, there hasn't been enough feedback. Like, you know, we... Unfortunately, our distributor who put this out, when they released this right in, what was it, June or July, they were going through a big shakeup at the company. So there wasn't a lot of promotion. It's like a lot of people don't know about it. It's not even been, like, reviewed. We just have been looking around, and we're trying to get their support.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, it's crazy because we're, like, the only... NWA and Eazy-E doc, and although it says it's non-authorized, it is authorized by half of the group. I mean, half of the group participated in this. And so
Yeah. It's
like it continues to be this struggle we've dealt with from the day I took this on years ago to get support. And it's like it's really frustrating, so that's why we really appreciate you having us on, because it's so indie. But there's a lot of good stories in there. And, yeah, we interviewed – we were just looking at it again. We got a lot of great people. We got some good stuff, and it needs to be out there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, Arabian Prince, you know, Sir James, Tony A, I mean, you know, Julio G, a lot of people giving great insight onto, you know, the whole team. You know, it's a real good movie. But I'll tell you what, let's give away our first DVD tonight real quick.
Sure.
Let's see who we got here. 724, welcome to the show. You just won a copy of NWA and Eazy-E, Kings of Compton. How you doing?
Cool. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. I was actually going to ask a question, but you kind of answered it. I was going to ask, is like Arabian Prince, Sir Jinx, like are they in this movie? Like you guys covered that part of NWA?
Oh yeah.
Yes, they are.
Oh yeah. They're all in it.
Yeah.
They're in a lot.
They're in it pretty much the entire film. We got a lot of great exclusive interviews with them. I don't want to give too much away. You have the DVD now, so definitely check it out. But yes, we definitely have them.
All right.
Yeah,
thank you for calling in and congratulations. Hang on the line. I'll give you instructions on how you're going to get your DVD. Thank you.
Cool.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. This movie is a must. I mean, especially for you day oneers, man, for you people that went and actually bought Easy Does It and Straight Outta Compton on cassette way back in the old day, old heads like myself, you're going to fucking love this. You know what I mean? Because it's full of phenomenal footage and just great insight, interviews, the whole nine. You guys said it's been challenging as far as, you know, getting the public and everything and getting behind it and whatnot. What about press? Has any press got behind you guys on this project?
Well, that's the thing, man. I mean, it's not per se the public that has been supportive. It's kind of the industry, man. It's been like, you know, and even other rappers and musicians in this era, one of the things that I truly believe happened is that with the movie coming out, a lot of people just thought we were trying to exploit, you know, the whole Straight Outta Compton phenomena. So I think that people are just like, it's some little documentary on the side, you know, and these guys are just trying to cash in, and it really wasn't what we were trying to do. I mean, so as far as press goes, all of that, what happens is because I've been in distribution a long time, when we license this documentary to a distributor, it's really their job to go out and promote it. Well, we can cross-promote it and do stuff like this. That they're supposed to get it out there, so we're trying to help push it. And I think that we're going to get it in the right hands and really start the promotion a little late on this. But no, there hasn't been a lot of publicity on the you know, magazine publishing front.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, hopefully there will be soon, because you know, like I said, it's a great film, and it gives people so much more insight about NWA, about Ruthless, about the whole you know, crew over there in Compton, than Straight Outta Compton the movie. You know, to me,
yeah, like
a lot of over exaggerations. Like, they made Dre this super gangster that was punching dudes out, but really he was body slamming women, as easy he put it. You know, so it's definitely there's a lot of bias in that film. Whereas your documentary, you guys tell it from the standpoint of pretty much everybody. You know, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, one thing that we felt really fell short on the movie Straight Outta Compton was Eazy-E's, like, his participation in all of it. I mean, even the thing that really just kind of drove me personally crazy, and I know Jessica too, because we went and talked to the writers of Straight Outta Compton and asked them this question. Why is it that the whole scene where Eazy-E pays to meet Jerry Heller, I mean, he had the foresight to pay somebody to introduce them to Jerry Heller to get his music. That's a pretty big strategical move. And in the movie, they completely ignored it.
Yeah, going off what Andre said, so before the movie was released, we were invited to a private screening, and it was a Q&A with the writers. So obviously, since we were in production on the movie, we were in post, we were finishing up our movie, we, of course, went. And that was the biggest part. I mean, if anyone who's seen Straight Outta Compton, they show it that Heller was out there trying to meet Eazy-E, when reality, that means that's not what really happened. It was the other way around. And if you think about it it's like, why is this big time agent, like, why is Jerry Heller, who's pretty much reps all of these greatest bands, coming after this little guy in Compton? Like, it doesn't make sense. It's not real.
Exactly.
And I do understand, because I know Tamika, you know, she really spoke for Easy Side. And I mean, I get that she's trying to, you know, he's not alive, so he can't speak for it, so she's trying to protect his image. But at the end of the day, like, him going after Heller doesn't sound
paying for it.
It's not a desperate move. I mean, that's a smart move, because that's what made NWA NWA.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know if it was just the writers being lazy, or if, like, Tamika told them a different story, but, I mean, the truth is covered in our documentary for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah, most definitely. Yo, Heller, what people fail to realize about Heller is this guy brought Pink Floyd, Elton John over here for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
He banded Creedence. I mean, this guy goes back to the 60s. Let's give away another copy of this DVD, NWA Eazy-E, Kings of Compton. We got producer Jessica Bennett and producer and co-director Andre Rellis on the phone. Welcome, area code 314. You just won a copy of NWA and Eazy-E, the Kings of Compton. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I don't ever win nothing.
Well, you did tonight, man. Stay
You're
in the
a winner,
line,
bud.
I'll make sure to give you instructions on how you can get your DVD, all right?
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Man, thank you
right
for
on.
Calling in. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. You know what I'm saying? People are going to definitely get a chance to see this remarkable film. You guys plan on like, I mean, did you take it to film festivals, or you guys plan on taking it to film festivals? Or?
We haven't. What we really wanted to do was do some sort of event in Compton for it. And one of the things that I regret, and I wish we had the financing to do it, was we met a lot of musicians in Compton who were, like, you know, pretty unknown, didn't have any kind of following, trying to come up, who were all influenced by NWA and Eazy-E, and they all wanted to do I was trying to put together a soundtrack of like all these groups from Compton doing NWA covers, and anyways, on that front, we're going to try and do a release party in Compton and screen it in some theaters. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to try and do, and then maybe do the festival route. But it got released so quick that we didn't get a chance to really do the right way of promoting it through the film festival circuit.
Yeah. At the end of the day, when you guys watch the documentary, I mean, not only do we talk a lot about Eazy-E and N.W.A., but we do talk a lot. The first couple of chapters is about life in Compton and how it was back then in the 80s. So at the end of the day, this is a true Compton story, and that's why what Andre said is we really want to do a premiere in Compton, and we want to give back to the community in Compton just because this is their story. Whether they were alive for it or not, this is them.
Yeah, most definitely. You're right. You open up the film, and you get people familiar with Compton who've never been to Compton, what life was like in that era. So, yeah, oh, yeah, the whole thing was put together real good documentary. Let's give another one away. 305, first and foremost, 305, be safe down there. If you got, evacuation plan, get the hell out of there. How you guys holding up?
Oh, man, we're holding up pretty good over here right now. So far, they just got a tropical storm watch over here on my area here, so hopefully it doesn't get any escalation from there.
Yeah, we don't want that, man. Definitely be safe.
Yeah.
You want a copy of NWA and Eazy-E, The Kings of Compton. If you can, hang on the line, and I will make sure to give you instruction on how you can get your copy. Thank you for calling in tonight, man.
All right, definitely, man. Thank you for having me, and always been a fan of the show over there.
Right on,
man. Definitely. Be safe, please.
Oh, man, thank you.
One thing I want to say,
it's not looking too good right now. I mean, they're about to get a direct hit over there. Everybody be safe. Not just in Miami, of course, though. The whole Eastern Seaboard, it looks like, is going to get a big chunk of this all the way up into the Carolinas. So be safe. Back to the movie, like I said, it's a great flick. It covers virtually everybody, saying in the group and many other people, like you said, people that Eazy grew up with. What would you say, though, out of this documentary? I mean, because, we don't want to give everybody too much info about it because we want them to go watch it themselves. But if you could pick, what would you say is the highlight of this film or one of the highlights?
That's a really good question. I'm going to give two just because I'm going to be a little greedy.
Okay.
So one of the biggest highlights is definitely towards the end of the documentary. So yes, all of you who are winning it and all of you who bought it, you need to watch the entire thing. It's definitely towards the end. We actually talk about Eazy-E and we hone in on him and who he was and his life after NWA. Because what they showed in the movie, I mean, they showed him struggling. And I mean, come on, he brought up Bone Thugs and Harmony, who were the biggest R&B group.
Right,
it
was the biggest rap group shit out there at that point.
From the Midwest, Cleveland, coming to West Coast and literally almost being known as a West Coast artist, and they're not even from the West Coast. And it was really crazy. And just a little sneak peek, we do have interviews with Crazy Bone from Bone Thugs and Harmony going really into detail, and he gets really deep and tells some really great personal stories with Eazy-E. So that's a little trigger, so you guys can go by. But that's one of my favorite parts about the documentary for sure, just because you really don't see that. And also, I mean, how Eazy-E brought it up, which we've been talking about, is how he approached Heller and Heller didn't approach him, and that whole little mix, because he and Eazy-E had to go through somebody that he didn't even like who charged him a buttload of money just to do an introduction. But, I mean, he didn't, the guy was Lonzo who did it, but Lonzo didn't care. So it's really cool. There's a lot of really interesting parts. Those are my two favorite parts, but that's only very minimal after the entire film. But, yeah, that's what I would say.
And for me, I mean, I consider myself an entrepreneur, and in the spirit of being an entrepreneur, I think that Eazy-E was an amazing businessman. as well as the artist, but I mean the way in which that we demonstrate in this documentary how he put this together, how he really was a force behind it, his vision, the whole thing with how he met Jerry Heller, how he pushed the band. To me, I think we cover that well, and that's a highlight.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Most definitely. And you know, like you said, the whole introduction to Heller and whatnot, and you know, even Lonzo had to give it up and be like, you know what, he came along with a plan. These guys weren't getting paid, you know, by me. He even admitted it, you know, and he knew that, you know, Eazy-E, you know, it was going to take off. So, you know, props to Lonzo for even, you know, because he could have contested. He could have been like, hell no, this ain't going to happen. You're not taking my producer and this and that. So, you know, but then again, what happened to Eazy a few years later? You see, so, I mean, the music business is real cutthroat. Is the film industry like that? I imagine it is.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, so, you know, before I was into the film business, I was a musician. That was my background. So I've dealt with both sides of it. I mean, more so on the film side. But one thing I can tell you as a musician, and I was in a punk rock. I mean, I was a punk rock artist before I did this. NWA really influenced me, man, when I was a kid. You know, and we cover a lot about how these white kids get from the suburbs or from the other areas, parts of town, got influenced by NWA. And I'm one of them. I think that one of the things that was so interesting about NWA is how that group could just appeal to the punk rock heavy metal side. I mean, had a huge following of kids that weren't traditional, like, hip-hop rap fans. And because they were so radical, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like the punk movement, but, you know, through rap. So then you got they're like Public Enemy, the next generation. And I think that's really interesting. We cover that in our documentary, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Eazy... He was cool with Guns N' Roses. Yellow was on here talking about that they were going to do a big tour at one time. I definitely could see Eazy-E, you know, putting together plans and formulating stuff with different genres of music. I mean, he was an innovator. He had an ear for music. You know what I'm saying? Dre was a dope producer, but Eazy, he could see talent. You know what I'm saying? When everybody was giving up on Bone, And like, nah, man, them guys ain't going to work. He was like, watch. You know what I'm saying? Watch. And it did.
Yeah.
I mean, they broke the Beatles record, for crying out loud. So,
yep.
Well, one of the things, too,
so much for Eazy being broke selling weed at the end of Straight Outta Compton, right?
I know. That was bogus, man. But one of the things I think that the film doesn't delve into, Straight Outta Compton doesn't delve into enough. And when we interviewed Crazy Bone, he really expressed the fact that Eazy was like a mentor to them. When Bone Thugs were coming up, he just like hung with them. He was like their family.
Mm-hmm.
He like was everything, their support. And when he passed away, you know, the group pretty much like it fell apart. It was like horrible for them because I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, I mean, Eazy definitely had his. You know, he had his demons, I guess you could say. But I just, the more we got into the story, making this documentary, the more I started to admire Eazy.
The one thing that I would say most admirable about Eazy is that he did not take no for an answer. Like, any real Eazy-E NWA fan can tell that he did not take no for an answer. Back then, it was unheard of to swear on an album to say fuck the police. Like, I mean, that was unheard of back then, and he did it. People, what Andre was saying, people were coming at him and telling, you know, Bones, they're not going to work. They sound too different. It's not going to work. And he did not take no for an answer, and he pushed that band. And, I mean, they're one of the biggest hip-hop groups
Yeah, when we did the interview with Crazy Bone, he started like tearing up when we were talking about what happened to that group, to the Bone Thugs once Easy passed away. Just how much disarray it caused, and like, you know.
He was. I mean, what they even mentioned the doc. I mean, basically, Eazy-E was their number one fan. He was their support, and then they kind of felt like. I mean, even though Eazy-E did launch them, and they were already big, but it's like, imagine. I mean, this one person pushed you through the turtle, and then all of a sudden they fall off, and it's kind of like, where do you go from here? You don't know what
to do.
They're
right in the middle of success, too. They were like at the height.
Yep.
The other thing I think our documentary covers, and there's some controversy when Easy, at the time in which he was really sick in the hospital, and
yes,
we didn't want to get into it too much, but that was, I think the movie kind of Straight Outta Compton over-exaggerated certain people being supportive and being there for him at the very end.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that the movie... I think it just did its whole Hollywood thing on, you know, making up things. I think that there was not as much support towards the end of his life than the movie portrays.
Yeah. We know, I mean, what we mentioned in the doc, definitely Yella went to see him. Dre went to see him, but there was no news about Ice Cube seeing him.
Yeah, like that scene at the end. I mean, look, I wasn't there, so I can't say. But, like, the scene at the end, the Straight Outta Compton, where Cube shows up and all that, I have a feeling it was made up, man. Because from our resources and from the work we've done, we didn't get the feeling like the support was there.
Yeah, same here with us. I mean, you're right. I we heard that some of his kids were even told to leave and weren't allowed to see him from different sources.
The funeral itself is in that doc, and some key people are missing from that.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. A lot of people are missing. There's one man I see by the casket, crying his eyes out, and that was the guy that stood with him to the very end and beyond, helped him finish his record. You know what I'm saying, DJ Yella, shout out to him. He was on the show a few times. But, yeah, you guys covered that. I'm glad you guys took that route and decided, you know what, we're gonna tell the story as honest and truthfully as humanly possible. And that's what I got from it. You guys didn't pull any punches, and you went to other sources rather than just three people. You know, three people and a book or something. You know, you guys, you know, got a lot of different opinions from a lot of different people that were involved, not just in the music business, but in his personal life. That's what I liked about that, too.
There was a lot of people pushing us to try and get into the whole, you know, the theories around, around Eazy-E's death. And the whole theories and thoughts that Suge Knight had something to do with him getting AIDS and all of that, and... I mean, we could have gone in. I love investigative journalism and investigative documentaries, but, you know, we wanted to stay focused on just this story. And while, you know, there might be a story out there, we didn't want to get too far into that. But there was a lot of pressure for us to do that.
At the end of the day, we just wanted to tell them the most truthful story as possible and really honor Easy's memory.
Yeah, and NWA too. I mean, the whole thing, because, you know, I mean, it's interesting because we call it NWA and Eazy-E, Kings of Compton. So we get a lot of questions. Why did you add Eazy-E? Why didn't you just call it NWA? Well, because Eazy-E was a force to be reckoned with, man. He was, he deserves to have that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You got to pay homage to the guy that made it possible. Because when you trace the roots to this tree, I mean, it extends to Eminem, 50 Cent. I mean, some of the highest selling people the music industry has ever seen, they all come back to Eazy-E. Bring on another caller. Let's give away another copy of NWA Eazy-E, the Kings of Compton. You know what I'm saying? New documentary, DVD. 254, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, congratulations. You just won a copy of this DVD, phenomenal documentary, NWA and Easy, the Kings of Compton. Where are you calling from today?
Waco, Texas, brother.
Waco, Texas. Having people all across the board, you know what I'm saying? You're going to love this. You're going to love this, especially if you saw Straight Outta Compton and you didn't feel fulfilled at the end of that movie.
I didn't, man. To tell you the truth, I didn't. I felt like they withheld a lot of shit. They made it how they wanted, as their perspective, not as how it really happened, if you really think about it. That's how I feel. What was the part where Dr. Dre was on house arrest? For slapping his wife. Where's all those parts? Where's all that history at? That's not involved, you know?
Good points. Good valid points, man. Well, I'll tell you what, you're gonna get some good stuff out of this documentary. Stay on the line. I'll give you instructions on how you can get this DVD. Thank you for calling in, man. I appreciate you. It made some good point. I mean, see what I'm saying? We're getting the same thing. People are just not fulfilled with after seeing Straight Outta Compton. They're just not satisfied. You know, good movie. A lot of good scenes in it, but it's, you know. Anybody that's been down since day one knows it's a bunch of shit. Let's bring on 216. 216 in the building. You just won a copy of NWA and Eazy-E, Kings of Compton. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. How y'all doing out there?
We're good.
We're doing real good.
We're doing good.
Good, good, good. This DJ No Request calling from Cleveland, Ohio, courtesy of Jay Norton.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Hey,
Cleveland, Ohio. Shout out to everybody.
Cleveland
in
the house.
You guys just ended the drought last year. 45 years, got a championship. There you go. Stay on the line, brother, and I'll make sure you get instructions on how to get this DVD because it is coming your way. Thank you very much for calling in.
Okay, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the love.
No doubt. See, that's what I'm talking about. People are going to get a chance to actually see this, but if you're listening and you're not calling in, or if you download this episode later down and listening, make sure you get the film NWA and Eazy-E, Kings of Compton. This is definitely one of the ones you don't want to miss. Guys, if they want to pick up this DVD or stream it or whatever, where can it be found?
So you can find it on iTunes, Amazon, DirecTV, Vudu, also Comcast. It is on Vudu, Sony PlayStation, and many more. Actually, if you want to go ahead and follow us on Facebook, NWA and Eazy-E, Kings of Compton, you will have a complete list of where to find it. Also, you can please be sure to follow our company profile, which is all of VMI Worldwide, at VMI Worldwide on Facebook. You can definitely check out NWA Eazy-E, Kings of Compton, and plus learn about all the other titles that we have in the works, stuff that we've done. And also there, you can find exactly everywhere where to find it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, Zach, yes, you guys see it immediately. It's a hell of a film. You know what I'm saying? You guys did a great job. What can we look forward to in the future from you guys?
Well, we've got a lot of stuff in the works that we're trying to put together. I mean, we delve a lot through hip hop docs to punk rock to metal. We worked on a documentary called Lemmy, which was on Lemmy Kilster from Motorhead on the more metal side. On the hip hop side, we're working on a lot of stuff right now.
So if you want to go to our website, it's VMIWorldwide.com. You can get a chance to check out some of the stuff that we've put together. So we've done documentaries featuring artists like 50 Cent, Whitney Houston, Justin Bieber, Amy Winehouse, Michael Jackson, The Beatles, Lemmy, like Andre Rellis had said, also Black Eyed Peas, and many, many more. Just Lil Wayne the Carter, I can't forget. But just definitely check out our website, and you can see anything you want.
As far as what we're going to do moving forward, we'd like to do more documentaries based upon true stories of groups, just like NWA, that were big influences on our lives and the music that we listen to and what music I used to play.
That's what
also,
I'm
one note I want to add, since it seems like we're getting ready to wrap up, I just want to add, I really want to thank everyone who's listening in right now, everyone who's calling in. And if you can do us a favor, all of you guys who have either won DVDs or after hearing about this movie, you're actually going to want to go out and buy DVDs, which either way, we really appreciate the support. And if you could just put your reviews out there, that's what we're really looking for. We really want this film to circulate. We really want not only you, but please share it with your friends. We really want as many people as possible to see this story, to know the real, true story of NWA, Eazy-E, their legacy. So if you do get a chance to look at it, definitely review it. There's an IMDb page up for it, or also on any kind of sites that you have. And please, once you do review, please, please, please definitely send it to the Facebook. Follow us on Facebook just so we can see your thoughts. We can see what you thought. And just so you know, I myself host all the our marketing. So if you have any questions or you have any comments and you want to write to us, definitely just write us on our Facebook. You will be hearing from me personally, the producer of NWNA, Eazy-E, Kings of Compton.
That's what I'm talking about, hands-on. A lot of people are not hands-on. So, you know, that's real talk, real talk. I encourage everybody to get this film, you know, saying immediately. It's a dope picture. Everybody that called in tonight, I appreciate you calling in. You guys won yourselves a brand-new copy of this NWA Eazy-E, the Kings of Compton. It's the documentary right now that I recommend. I mean, I'm not seeing anything out right now that moves me, you know, hip-hop wise. You know what I mean? There's not any footage, any film, anything out there. I mean, there's stuff put out, you know, say a few years ago and whatnot that was dope, but nothing current. This is
right.
Current.
It's like you get it all. You get it all at one time with them. Like you can easily be looking at this documentary to find this, or this documentary, or this movie, or that movie. They got it all in one package. You know what I'm saying?
That's what
I like about it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know what I'm saying? Hell of a flick. We look forward to seeing what you guys do next. I want to thank you for calling in.
Thanks.
And once again, I want to thank all our callers. And give everybody again, give them your social media and all your website information one more time, Jessica, if you don't care.
Oh, absolutely. So you can find us on Facebook, which is either VMI Worldwide on Facebook, or if you want to follow just the film particularly, it's NWA and Eazy-E Kings of Compton on Facebook. And you can also follow our Twitter, which is VMI World, which we discuss all of our titles. And also you can find us the title on Instagram, NWA and Eazy-E Kings of Compton. Before we wrap up, I do want to do a huge shout out to the owner of this show, Scott. We're so both really grateful for having you on the show. But not only that, we are so grateful for you licensing the Jerry Heller interview that we actually put into the doc. So all of you guys who are watching and listening, there is a interview from Jerry Heller that was taped right here on the show, and we really appreciate all of your help on getting us that material and then also staying with us and actually letting us come on your show and promote the film. We're grateful to have you in our family.
Well, likewise, we're honored.
We appreciate y'all doing it for us, right?
Yeah, real talk. I mean, it's a huge honor for us to even be mentioned in this film alongside, you know, same people that we grew up listening to. You know what I'm saying? So it's a huge honor. You know, I mean, we've been in, you know, films, documentaries, books, you know, but this is definitely a huge honor for us. We can't thank you enough. And we look forward to the next time we have you guys on the show. Real talk. Everybody that hit the lines tonight, thank you. You got a free copy of NWA Eazy-E, the Kings of Compton, coming out soon. Well, actually, it's available right now. You need to get it. I mean, it's coming to me soon. It'll be coming to you soon. So be looking for it in your mailbox. Stay in the line. I'm going to give you instructions. While I do that, why don't we break off into a classic Eazy-E track? You know what I'm saying? We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Yeah, yes, step to this motherfucker. And this one goes out to all the OGs out there. And I can't forget the baby gangsters. What's up, nigga? My nigga that came back with some of that old school original West Coast shit, nigga. That got all y'all on his dick in the first place. Yeah, so run that city. Yeah.
down the street in my 6-4, jocking the freaks, clocking the dough. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there, cold shooting some hoops. A car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino rolling Kilo G. He rolled down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that GTA. 'Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, 'cause I ain't said shit. Give me the pace. He said my man JD is on free base. The boy JD was a friend of mine till I caught him in my car trying to steal an Alpine. I chased him up the street to call a truce. The silly Clark Kent pulls out a deuce deuce. Little did he know I had a loaded 12 gauge. One sucker dead, LA Times front page. 'Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't me, boy, 'cause I ain't been shit. And from the 8-ball, my breath starts stinking. Left to get my girl to rock that body. Before I left, I hit the Bacardi. Went to her house to get her out of the pad. Dumb hoe said something that made me mad. She said something that I couldn't believe. So I grabbed the stupid bitch by a nappy ass weave. She started talking shit. Wouldn't you know? Reached back like a pimp, slapped the hoe. Her father jumped up and he started to shout. So I bombed on pop, knocked his old. 'Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. You come talking that trash, we'll pull your car. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, 'cause I ain't said shit.
Yeah, we're back here, episode 307. This is the Murder Master Music Show. I'm here with my co-host, Mac J. Hell of a show, episode 307, NWA, EZE, Kings of Compton. We have the producer, you know what I'm saying, Jessica Bennett, and producer and co-director, Andre Relis. This film is a must. You need to check it out. We just gave away another DVD, you know what I'm saying, during the break, during the song, to area code 385, you know what I'm saying? Homie called in, you know what I'm saying? Where the fuck is 385 in Utah? Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? I hope we don't send this to a Mormon, man. They might get offended. But no, shout out to Utah. Shout out to the Mormons. We're gonna make you get down with NWA and EZE, motherfucker.
That's right.
Forget about,
you know,
that
what I'm saying?
Bullshit, Mitt Romney bullshit. But no, not everybody in Utah is a fucking Mormon. You know what I'm saying? So shout. I mean, we had people calling from all over the place, man. All over the place.
Yeah.
And I definitely want to say to the homie. You know what I'm saying, to the homie that called in, Kevin, you know what I'm saying, down there in Miami, be careful. Everybody, you know what I'm saying, in the southeast right now, definitely be careful. If you think you got to get out of there, get the hell out of there, you know what I'm saying. I don't agree with a lot of shit any president has ever said, but I do agree with what Obama said today. You can always rebuild a house, you can always get your possessions, but you cannot replace a life. So if you think you got to get the fuck out of there, get the fuck out of there, please. But then again, you know, this is the first major storm, as they said, I think in 11 years. So, and who knows, you know, with this HAARP and all this crap that they're doing with the atmosphere, all these chemicals, they're shooting out of planes. Who knows what they're doing to maybe intensify this damn thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching for straws, but, you know, the government is, they also injected people with syphilis, so let's not forget about that either. Saturday night, Underground Saturday night, what episode are you guys on? Won't it be number 20?
I think so. Yep.
Number 20.
Good old Dub.
You guys got a Dub already, so check out Mac J and Velvet Rose Underground Saturday night, this Saturday, 9 p.m. Central. Make sure to call in and participate. It's a comedy variety entertainment show. It's not, you know, here it's just rap, you know, rap-related stuff. Their show is a little bit of everything, man. So you can call in and, you know, check out some current events. You know, look at that Mac roast your ass.
Like, what caliber are we saying? Hey, did you even listen to the end of that one show when I had my whole homeboys call in right at the end of it? I can't remember which episode it was, a couple weeks ago. And we just roasted for about 15 minutes. We do all kinds of shit, man. If you ain't doing shit, you might as well call in. And then if I stick around and just play some music, if you ain't doing shit, just get about an hour listening to some. Prez got a million fucking songs, man. All dope shit, too.
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, we got a lot of good music on here, you know, and we try to have a blend and a mix, you know what I'm saying? The homie from Waco was just telling us about the show tomorrow, which, you know, we had Isham on with Gangster Nip. They're going to do this once-in-a-lifetime show over at, you know, say, Warehouse Live in Houston tomorrow. Man, I mean, you're talking about the God of Horrorcore meets, you know what I'm saying, the acid rap, wicked shit. I mean, both these dudes, I'll put you this way, combined, these two guys influenced like hundreds of motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Everybody and their mama came out with a fucking Horrorcore tape in the 90s and nowadays. You know what I'm saying? It's so many people in that genre, and a lot of them are in that genre because of Nip. And because of Isham. So shout out to Nip and Isham for doing what they do. 28th of this month coming on down the line. 1 week before Al Capone has his new liquor out, we're going to have him on the show out of Memphis. You know, say we're going to try to get some other people. I'm talking to, you know, trying to talk to Willie D again, see if we can bring him on. He just released a new record, Coon Part 2. This time he went after Michael Jordan. He went after Michael Jordan and Ted Cruz. He said Ted Cruz looks like Mrs. Doubtfire. I thought that shit was hilarious. Yeah, I mean, I thought that shit was fucking great. You know what I'm saying? Willie D, man, he don't give a fuck. So we're going to try to get him on the show. And who knows who we're going to have, man. We're already in episode 307. We're going to keep it going. Also, though, I do want to say this, too. You know, make sure you check out the San Diego Easy Kings of Compton. But if you want another good flick to check out, make sure to check out the homie Sergio over at Easy CPT, Ruthless, you know what I'm saying, Memories, man, with Easy. That's a great documentary, too. Check out Ben Westhoff's book, Original Gangsters. You know what I'm saying? That's a dope book right there. And if you want to know the history of the fucking pioneer, one of the pioneers of the West Coast and the South, you know what I'm saying, the founding member of the Two Live Crew, Fresh Kid Ice, his new book, My Rise to Fame, is out. It's a real good book. It's a real good book, so make sure you check that out as well. We're about to get out of here, but we got another caller. Let's see who this is. 310, Los Angeles, Los Scandalous. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. Wanted to do a quick shout out to VMI. You know, they made two of my favorite hip hop documentaries, The Little Wayne, The Carter, and of course this new N.W.A. and Easy Kings of Compton.
Yeah, VMI, they're good people, man. You know what I'm saying? They definitely, they definitely got our support. You know what I'm saying? We're honored to be in their DVD. I'll tell you what, man. Did you already see N.W.A. and Easy and Kings of Compton?
Oh, I did. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, that's what's up. Make sure, tell everybody to go out there and check it out. VMI is a dope, company, man. They put out some good stuff, so we look forward to see what else they put out. Glad you enjoyed the film, man, and thank you for calling in tonight. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Panther Russo, Westside.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, we've had callers from several states, you know, saying, yeah, everybody loves NWA and Easy, man. You know, they really laid the foundation. I mean, of course, Ice-T was out there first. You know what I'm saying? Schoolie D was out there on the East Coast. But these guys took gangster rap and made it mainstream. You know what I'm saying? They were on the fucking VMAs, Arsenio Hall, all that shit. You know, while they were saying, fuck the police. You know, that was their most controversial record. So here they are, 2016. They made it in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But Eazy-E is not here. You know what I'm saying? I want to say this, too, to Tracy, that's the mother of Evie Wright, and Evie and Erica Wright. I know you guys are working on a Ruthless Scandal. You know what I'm saying? You're more than welcome on this show anytime, because that's another reason why, you know what I'm saying, we fuck with the makers of this film, because, you know, they're telling the truth. Same thing with Sergio. They're telling the truth. They're not,
right,
you know, pulling any punches. They're interviewing people from Eazy-E's childhood, you know, and, you know, it's a good thing. So make sure you guys check out this film, N.W.A. Eazy-E, the Kings of Compton, and be on the lookout for a Ruthless Scandal, you know what I'm saying, put together by Eazy-E's kids and the mother of one of his kids. So be looking out for that as well. Yeah, I just heard some fucked up shit in the news, though, Mac. We had Gary Ballin, that's Jerry Heller's cousin, for those of you that don't know, on the show a few weeks ago, and he said that they were going to move forward with the lawsuit. I just read that since Heller is gone, no one has stepped up yet to pursue the case. So that might get thrown out. So here we are. You're going to have these guys get away with all these inaccuracies about Easy and this and that, and you know, so the case might get thrown out completely. You know, we'll see what happens with that. That's some interesting news, too. Be on the lookout, you know what I'm saying, for that. But we're going to try to have more people come on the show, you know, pertaining to NWA, as well as Tupac. You know, you got the All Eyes on Me flick coming out soon, here in another month, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Be on the lookout for that. Other than that, everybody be good, take it easy, and we'll see you guys here Saturday night, on the ground Saturday night, without this motherfucker. My-
shows, taking out profanity. So they can play it though, listen to the hell of a kick and the hi-hat. Go on to the record store, say you're gonna buy that the E is connected to the A and the Z. And say why, well that's how to be. Back it up on material made of hits, taking my time with each line to make sure it fits. Push play on the instrumental that's recorded. Step on stage and I'm suddenly awarded some sort of trophy, appeared like a plaque, and some hell of a scream from the girls in the back. Taking a bow, cause I got style. Never at the bottom, always on the top of the pile. You always see me on top, even though I'm short. Guaranteed to house when I walk in the court. So get out, make some noise for the gangster clap. Don't attempt to laugh, I'm not a prankster. I'm serious, raise my sound, so quit playing around, cause I'ma break it down. Last time, I was taking my time with this, but other suckers were making a rhyme with this. I had to change the tempo and make it hype up. While they was writing, I was getting right, bro, ready to go, like never before. Giving you more because I'm ready to score. Grin is my buddy, you can tell us this often. Helping me destroy the suckers that soften. Curing diseases, my rhyme pleases. Lord and king of all seven seasons. This is a doctrine, and I'm locked in. I made up my mind, and I think I'm gonna rock in. You got this just feeling, I'ma put you to freeze after I cut you, cause I'm a butcher. And say you have price, and then out you go. Cause the percentage on pork belly are very low. Messing with a gun with bullets, you get hurt. Like I said before, you get rushed. I'm not a lawman, but I'm a raw man.
But you're the dopest one I ever saw, man.
I keep dropping this pound for pound, and when I'm on the mic, I always throw down to keep y'all dancing to my funky sound. So listen up, cause I'ma break it down. Now look at me, and not at the poster. And you can see right off, I got the most of the talent, experience, or trade, and compliments for the rhyme that's made. Top song of the day is this one. So pick another artist and this one. I got the ballot of the chosen vote, cause I don't need water to clear my throat. Come from the rear and show I'm like dancing, nasty like, and the girls are like glancing. One to get with me, it's routine, keeping them strong, but still saying mean. Can you resist this man? I don't think so. And once I start riding away, I let the ink go. Coming up with songs like, yeah, that's a hit, cause this legit, and yours ain't shit. Making the song so dope, cause I'm a genius. But you're amazed, cause you're happy to see this brother go crazy on wax. Blowing away like if I was on a sack. Doing a solo in the shade of a spotlight, relax and chill. While you're uptight, pumping up the funky sound. So you should know it's common sense that the E is gonna break it down.
Wicked shit is wicked.
wicked on the streets. Effort with my eyes, see the wickedness will never cease. Bitches on my dick, can you know I'm running, y'all? So you just sold your soul to the motherfucking devil's son-in-law. Wicked as could be, easy E got the flow. Leaving the smell of death on the road for show. And a hoe can't make me or break me, but she could take me to a motel and work a nigga spell, cause I'm easy.
Yeah. Suck on these nuts, motherfuckers. Get with the real and quit faking the funk. And oh yeah, stay off my dick. Really though.
I let my demons loose when I hit the eighth juice, and I leave a trail of stiffs when I'm high off a slip. Niggas talk shit, so I talk a lot of shit too. Niggas wanna diss, fuck them and they whole crew. In fact, nigga, thank ya for stacking a nigga's bank up. Yeah, I'm living square, but I'm a gangster like Tracer. No, not the doctor, physician or the MD. Tracer's an OG, doctor's a phony. Only the real, real still could chill with me. And the rest can't fuck with E, cause I'm the OG that'll burn you down. The devil's son-in-law, king of the underground. Good to go with the flow that I throw. Giving you mo to let a motherfucker know that I could get wrecked on the set and make it slow. Cause you know I ain't a joke, I'm a motherfucking loke, and my name is
Easy E. Easy motherfucking E. But you bitches could just call me E. A real nigga from the CPT. Kicking ass and asking questions later. Oh yeah, don't get smoked, loke. And I'm out, motherfucker.